And welcome back to Marketing Schmarketing, the official podcast of AMA Las Vegas, where we talk about current events in marketing and help you become a better marketer. Rock on Vegas today, yeah. Rock on Vegas today. Rock on Vegas today. Vegas strong to the bone. And I am Shahab Zaghari, your co-host for the day. And today I actually have a guest co-host, Zach Stuckey. And why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thanks, Shahab. Hi, gang. I'm Zach Stuckey. I'm pleased to be here.
Great. And what do you do for a living?
Well, I am a customer-centric operations expert. So what that means is I work with high six, low seven-figure creative agencies that are having like quality, profitability, scaling issues. And I help them use their operations to fix that by really zeroing in on the real reason why their customers have hired them, and then using their operations to and strategy to do that better than anybody else.
Great. So it's almost like consulting. You go in and you say, well, this is what you're doing and this is what you could do better kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Nice. And you are here, well, obviously because you asked to be on the podcast, but mainly because Karen, dun, 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 she's been having internet and computer issues. I feel so bad for her. For you know, you listeners out there, you know, Karen Michaels is the co-host of this podcast, but we are so jazzed to have Zach on with us today. Now, as those of you who have listened to us before, you know that we start with a win of the week. Zach, win of the week, something you've worked on this week that was a success, or just something you saw in the news or what have you. Go. What's your win of the week?
Win of the week is Dove's latest ad campaign. If you haven't seen it, man, it is just...
Is it another heartstring kind
of? Oh, it's a heartstring kind of thing, but it hits all the right buttons for their target audience. Like it's phenomenal.
Which again, that goes into exactly what you do for your customers, right? Like who is the customer even kind of thing?
Yeah.
No, I missed it. So I know when they started doing these, there was that one where, you know, the artist would draw someone based on their, right? So what's this one about?
So this one is centered around the concept of how social media is destroying girls and women. And it follows the journey of this little girl to this really heart-rending, "You Are So Beautiful to Me" rendition that's totally a cappella. And you see this little girl growing up. She's vivacious and just adorable as all get out. And every dad and every mom can see their daughter in that little girl. And then she turns a certain age and she gets a phone for her birthday, and she becomes more and more introverted. And she starts looking at stuff about how she's too fat, how she is not beautiful and all of this stuff. And she develops an eating disorder that she has to receive treatment for.
Wow.
And then at the very
trying to sell soap, you know,
I know. Well, but they're right. It's not just the soap, because what they're actually being hired to do, and we can get into this later, but what they're actually being hired to do is to help women feel comfortable with who they are.
That's amazing. Wow. That's great. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. And I urge our listeners to go check that out as well. My win of the week, we were waiting on a couple things. I had submitted to a grant and we didn't get it. So that was like a heart-wrenching Monday morning. Yeah, it was a bummer. I mean, it's a numbers game, right? So just keep doing, don't let it affect you kind of thing. But the next day we found out that the film that I shot last year was accepted as an official selection for a film festival in Istanbul, Turkey.
Oh, that's
as
cool.
As well as the Nevada Women's Film Festival in Las Vegas coming up this June. So couldn't be happier. And it's, you know, it's one of these like jump scare horror things, which you never, who knows if people even like that kind of stuff. And that made up for it. So that was two wins that negated that one loss. And so that was my win of the week. Now,
well, those are huge. Congratulations.
Thank you. Let's jump right into the hot topics of the day. So there's this article on Adweek currently talking about how American Eagle uses AR Snapchat lens to promote secondhand clothing. So it's you know, a little bit of e-commerce kind of stuff, but it allows users to kind of go through the collection as if they're in the store, even though they're not really in there. So it's kind of throwing a wrench in what we think of as an e-commerce website. What did you think about that?
You know, I thought it was a really interesting concept, and I think it's almost there. I think it's just missing one key facet. And that is actually being able to take your picture and try on virtually the outfit as if you were there. That's the one thing that I think it's missing. And then it'd be ready for the presses. And American Eagle, I frankly don't know why they didn't include it, because they did this a couple of months ago, and they saw a boost in over $2 million in sales in just a couple of days. So
American Eagle, if you're listening, all you have to do is marry the two softwares together somehow. I know that's a large order, but you would see sales go through the roof. Yeah, it's quite amazing. I'm really excited to see where augmented reality and even AI, where all of this is taking us. You know, AI is so in its infancy stage. You know, constantly I'm asking Siri things and it's giving me the wrong information, right? I'm like, okay, Siri, you don't know anything. She's like, please be nice, you know, or whatever. We're getting there. We're slowly getting there.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go on to the next topic. Now, again, listeners out there, you know, everything we talk about on this podcast, it's marketing centric, right? As a marketer, how do we view what is going on with these brands? We don't necessarily get controversial, although the podcast episode we had that came shortly after the October 1st shooting was a little somber. That one was a little melancholy and serious. That's a little bit of a controversy even now with guns and all that, but we're not going controversial. This is, you know, again, something a brand has done, but Bud Light hired Dylan Mulvaney as, creator that's working with the brand to reach a certain demographic, and it completely backfired.
I think that's an understatement.
Yeah, so Zach, so you're seeing this play out. I mean, what are your thoughts on this situation?
You know, again, just calling balls and strikes on the strategy of this, I think it was a huge, huge misfire. When I think it's something like 70 to 80% of the customers that drink Bud Light are blue collar, frankly, Republican men. Why on earth would you think it was a good idea to pull someone from the other side of the political aisle, even just for an ad like this? To me, it boggles the mind. I can't comprehend why they would think that was a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, initially I thought, okay, so what they're trying to do is they're trying to go after people whose money they aren't getting, whose money they lost to these craft beer kind of people. You know, was it the right thing to do? That I'm not sure of, but then they were quickly followed by another controversy when they let her go, right? And so they got a huge backlash from the marketing community. You know, if you weren't prepared to stand by her in the first place, as soon as, you know, then why, right? So I kind of think back to Star Wars, the Disney trilogy.
Yeah.
And they had hired this Asian American actress whose name eludes me at the moment.
Kelly Marie Tran.
And, you know, the internet just hated her. A lot of it was coming from the place of, you know, racism and all of that. But Disney didn't stand for it, right? They didn't fire her. They didn't whatever. And so, you know, Bud Light dropping her, all I'm saying is I kind of stand with, you know, folks from, you know, big ad agencies, like, hey man, if you weren't ready to go down with the ship on that one, you probably shouldn't have done that in the first place, right?
So I agree with that, but I want to push back on this a little bit, because I think that we're drawing some distinctions here that we can't necessarily draw. The first one is that we're assuming that the person who did the hiring wasn't ready to stand by her, and that the person who did the firing was involved in the hiring decision in the first place. We don't necessarily know that that's the case. Yeah, it probably should have been the case.
Yeah.
But strategically, right, there's something called jobs theory. And jobs theory is pretty simple. It's just that people don't buy your product or service. They hire it to help them make progress in their life. And if you can't help them make progress, then they'll fire you and hire something else to do it. So the job that people were hiring Bud Light to do wasn't necessarily to get drunk. And the job that they were hiring Bud Light to do wasn't necessarily something that Dylan Mulvaney was a good fit for, because to be quite honest, the audience, again, blue collar males who are probably coming home at the end of a long day, they don't drink a whole lot in the first place, based off of the studies that I've done.
Light beer after all.
right. They're not drinking something really,
Bud Light, but yeah.
Yeah. So he, the people making this decision, you know, you look at the target audience, and the target audience is probably hiring Bud Light to help them unwind. And it's probably not something that
you did the opposite, Bud Light.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And they've been wound so tight on political controversy already that it's like, well, Bud Light may have just completely destroyed all the equity that they had in that brand with this decision. And then they came out like a week later with an ad with the Clydesdale that was running across America. And it's getting a lot of flack from their same target audience, who are like, you think you can buy us back with an ad of a horse? Like, come on, guys.
Right.
So they may
what have. What is this, 1981? Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the other thing that you think about is, was this them trying to do the bad press is good press kind of thing? Like, was it planned from the start that they were going to do this and piss people off? And then, you know, what do you think?
I don't think it was, because I think if it was, if it was, what you would see is that they would actually be standing by Dylan Mulvaney. Because if this was the bad press is good press, then they would have stood by Dylan Mulvaney to hopefully get some of her followers to come and start
participating. Because her followers are pissed now too.
Right. So yeah. This to me was just a total backfire and just bad strategic decision all around. The person who was responsible for it was saying, we were trying to reach out and get people who weren't normal beer drinkers, but the way that you grow markets is not through, it's not necessarily through a marketing stunt.
And then, and then the Clydesdale, that's like doubling down on the stunt. It's like, that's not win of the week.
This is like a Hindenburg of the week. You know,
speaking of Hindenburgs, I think that brings us to SpaceX. Oh, wait, the other thing you did. Right? So, so Twitter on April 20th, they did away with legacy verified check marks. Now, that in itself, in my opinion, is not the problem. The problem is that with this new sheriff in town, there is nothing battling these copycat accounts. And already since April 20th, there are fake, there was one I saw that was Hillary Clinton, but with an I. And it was like, I'm running for president again. Hopefully they don't find my emails. And it's just like, you know, so then there's like all of these people impersonate, and impersonation I mean, that's you can go to court for that, for defamation, and, you know, it gets into weird legal waters. So I don't know. I mean, I've never been verified on Twitter because I'm not really famous enough. But what do you think, Zach? Like, what do you think about this whole verifications going away unless you pay $8 a month thing?
You know,
incidentally, Facebook and Instagram have jumped on that train as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me because it depends on how you look at it and what job people are hiring Twitter and Facebook and Instagram to do. But to be quite honest, I kind of remember, I have a long enough memory to remember that Elon Musk was getting some of this naysayer crap with Tesla. And I think that one of the things that is kind of repeating itself is that people were seeing things that they, in the short term, don't make sense for Elon Musk to do, but in the long term, it does make sense. And I think that we'll probably see something similar with that play out. That being said, one of the things that I did notice is that people like LeBron James, and I think Bill Murray and a couple of other people, Stephen King, who are just like, I am adamant, I'm not going to pay. They still have a blue check mark.
I saw that.
So, yeah. You know, I think that it's not quite going away the way that
it's not going away, but I think, I mean, with all that, like some of them don't have it, some of them have it, Stephen King has it. It's just devalued what it means, you know.
But that's a great point.
Yeah. So, but, you know, we're kind of winding down on time, but I feel like with the, you know, augmented reality, but also even with the Bud Light thing, we kind of sort of touched on the types of things that you would coach your clients on, you know, for someone that lands on this podcast, you know, leading up to, I guess, even just picking up the phone and calling you, you know, what are the types of things that brands need to know when they're thinking about those kinds of questions, right? Thinking about why did the client hire me? Because even when I'm thinking about it, like, well, you know, no one's hired Twitter, but in a sense they have, right? So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the thing that you need to know is, first off, your offer stack, you know, the thing that people are paying you to do is not the thing that you're being hired to do. And there is a distinction, and it takes a little bit to wrap your mind around it, but
real quick. So if you think, oh, my business doesn't have distinction, it's just the one thing, you're looking at it wrong.
Yeah. It's kind of like this. There was a Harvard professor who said, people don't buy a quarter inch drill. They buy a quarter inch hole. And if you think you're just selling quarter inch drills, then you're going to market wrong. You have to think about, I'm selling a quarter inch hole. So you're selling outcomes, but most of the time, the outcome that you think it is not the outcome that the customer thinks it is. And so you need to flip your thinking from that supply side to the demand side. And what that means is you've got to do a lot of conversation with your customers. You've got to really understand them in a way. I heard one branding expert say that it was inhabitation, where it's almost like they go with you and they're in your heart in a sense. And it gets to a point where you are so in tune with them that you're able to create solutions for problems that you're able to see that they have.
Do you have an example? And I'm sure you probably have to sign NDAs all the time, but something that you can talk about, even if you don't name names. Something just completely turned around for the brand.
Yeah, I'll give you two examples. So there's one, it's an Irish SaaS firm called Intercom. And when they started using this jobs theory framework, they were about a $5 million per year business. They looked at it and they had a bunch of churn and they said, we got to solve this. So they started looking for customer jobs. And they identified four different jobs. And the jobs were, help me understand my customer, help me understand a couple of different things. And I'm blanking on the other three. But it was all about getting insight into the customer and connecting and stuff like that. So what Intercom did is they, instead of selling based off of features and benefits, and this one has more features than that one, so you're going to pay more for this one, right? And tiering it. They said, no, we're just going to have four revenue streams. They're going to be roughly the same price. And you're going to pay based off of the job that you have that you need your customer. You're going to pay based on the job you have to be done. What they saw as a result of that change was that within 10 years, they were valued at over $10 billion.
Wow. All from taking the bundles they created haphazardly and then make it into similarly priced categories, but based on what you need them to do. That's quite amazing. It almost feels, again, it's a pivot. You're still selling the same things, just how you present it is customer centric versus this is what we do kind of thing.
Wow. Right. Exactly. I'll give you another example. This one's a little bit smaller, but still effective. There was a firm that I was working with. They were trying to scale. They were a low seven figure and they wanted to scale. So what we looked at is what is the job that their customers are hiring them to do? And we discovered that they didn't have one customer, they had two customers. And the first customer was referring the second customer. And so what we did is we said, okay, what's the job of the referring customer? What's the job of the consuming customer? And we met the needs of the referring customer with our marketing, and we changed how we were marketing. And then we met the needs of the consuming customer with our operations. And as a result, we scaled that business 40% year over year for multiple years. By the time I left that company, they were eight figures and they were driving major market players out of their market.
That's amazing. So if our listeners want to pick your brain a little bit more about that, can you tell them how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, on LinkedIn. Just search for HomericConsulting.com as well. But it's Homer like Homer Simpson or Homer the ancient Greek poet. Homeric, so HOMERIC consulting.com.
Nice. Oh, consulting's even in the web address. Awesome. I called it. Cool. Well, listeners, thank you so much for joining us again. Don't forget that the next AMA luncheon is May 4th at Fogo de Chao on Flamingo in beautiful Las Vegas. Thanks again for helping out today, Zach. It was really a pleasure.
My pleasure, Shahab. Thanks for having me.
See you later.